Well, greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We pray the Lord is blessing you in Jesus' name. Father, please bless us today, Lord. Give us some discernment and wisdom, and help us, Lord, in our praying, Lord. We need to learn to pray and to exercise authority that you've given unto us. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. You know, concerning prayer, one of the most important things is to, I believe, to put the angels to work. We've been shown several times that the angels, you know, go forth to bring to pass the things that we command, the things that, when we're in agreement with His Word, that is, you know, the things that we command and the things that we pray for, you know, they're ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. And it's not that they serve the people, they serve the Lord in the people, is what you need to understand there. So we've given quite a few times direct orders from the Lord to send the angels out. Recently, I even asked the Lord, I said, okay, because the Lord told me, He said, send out the angels. I said, well, what do you want me to send the angels out to do? And then I asked Him to give me a word, you know. So I flipped my Bible open and blindly stuck my finger down on David. And I started reading from right there. I thought that was pretty awesome of the Lord. And it said, David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. I says, okay, Lord. You know, in John 15:7, the Lord said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. You know, if the word of God is in you, you have a knowledge of the will of God, you know. So we send the angels out. You know, and we're obviously we're in this warfare against the demonically operated government that is opposing the government that's coming in, and we've been, you know, doing we've been seeing everything come to pass. You know, we sent the angels out after the CIA. Covert deep state people and Google and Facebook and Twitter and we sent them out to bring intelligence into the Trump administration and you know, be the eyes and ears and speech and everything that's necessary for them. And also we sent them to bring all hidden things to light. And, you know, my goodness, the Lord's doing it. You do it too, you know. You have authority to do it. And recently we had this, we had a bunch of dreams or visions about angels in our meetings and so on. And one of them was given to Eve Brass. She saw a vision. She saw two angels that have been seen many times on both ends of the balcony, we call it. It's actually a walkway between rooms on the second floor. And they're watching over our meetings down below. And we knew that they were there to fulfill our prayers and commands. And this particular day when Eve looked up there, she saw one on the left. And she said, as she looked up, he saw that she could see him, and he looked down at her, and he smiled. And she said, I asked him, mind to mind, what do you keep in your bag? Because he had this bag around his shoulder. And he then took his left hand and drew five stars out of the satchel and held them out to me, and they looked like small bright balls of white light in the palm of his hand. He answered back, mind to mind, These are your prayers and the prayers of your brethren when activated by the word. Make sure you pray the word. That's what the angel said. Make sure you pray the word. This could mean a couple of things. As we've said before, it could mean praying according to the word. If you ask anything according to my will, you know, according to God's will, he hears you, right? Or it could mean actually speaking the word in prayer, or using prayers that are in the word and speaking them as your prayers. There's things that this could represent. And she said, I knew that he hurled these stars at our enemies as we prayed the word over the various situations that we're faced with. Amen. And in a dream that Eve had, I was given 15 or 20 angels to send throughout Washington, D.C. to find all the evil, the wicked people in the government, and to flush them out of their hiding places and send them packing. So she said she saw a vision in that dream of corrupt government officials hiding under their desks in fetal positions. They were terrified and paralyzed with fear and couldn't function anymore. And I believe that's clearly what's happening today, you know. I mean, the Lord said, behold, I've given you authority. And then he said, over all the power of the enemy. So the angels are that power that go forth to do and to bring to pass the things that we speak. And we should, you know, send them forth. Now, you know, when you don't necessarily have to point at the angel and say, go do this, you know. When you command something, you know, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. When we command something and we command it to be done, they go forth and do it, you see. It's not that you have to directly command them, but you are commanding them because when you speak it, they go forth to do it, right? And the Lord is doing powerful things. I mean, we're watching as our prayers are being fulfilled. You know, the hurricane, you know, that came up to the East Coast, and we asked the brethren to pray about whether the Lord wanted us to destroy that hurricane or whether he wanted us just to lessen it. And basically we got the answer. He said, don't destroy it. It has to go. Lessen it. And so that's what we did. And a day later, it went down from a 4 to a 2. And so that's not the first, nor probably the last time that I've been used of the Lord to do something about hurricanes. But it doesn't matter how big it is, because it's bigger than you and it's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than those angels, you know. And so they can handle it. Another thing I've been thinking about is the fact that so few people really are able to pray very long or concentrate their prayers on certain subjects or whatever, you know. I've taught for years that one of the best times to pray, not the only, but one of the best times to pray, is when you're reading the Bible and you see something that you need, or you see something that is provided for you that you don't have, or you see something that your children need or your country needs or whatever. You see it. Stop and pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing, right? So stop and pray. I mean, it only takes a minute, and then you can go on. And you're not reading to cover territory. You're reading for beneficial effect to you and also to others, you know, around you, even the world around you. You know? So that's also a way, you know, yourself, you've sat down to pray or gone to pray and you know, just run out of things you could think of. So pretty soon other things popped into your mind. You jumped up and went and did them, right? So this is a way you can pray and be very diligent and be very effective in obeying that angel. You know, pray the word. Pray the word. And thought I'd just give you a few examples here today, and of praying the Word. And we can see the effects from the time the election happened on. We can see wonderful effects of what happens when people pray. Things have changed. And so I'm going to start in Ephesians, and I'm going to look at a few. Some of them are prayers and some of them are not prayers, but they're all about prayer, you know, and things that we can pray for. And just to give you a little bit of an example, you know, I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15 and read on down. For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which is among you, and the love which you show towards all the saints. Of course, these are the kind of people whose prayers are effective, you know, the people with the faith. And of course, most of Christianity doesn't even know what the definition of faith is. I mean, honestly, they don't. And they don't exercise it, and they don't pray because they've never had results praying. And that one of those reasons is, of course, they don't know what the Scripture has to say about it, or the authority that they have, or what is their part in this grand scale, right? And love. You know, God doesn't hear people that don't have love, people that are critical and angry and prideful and et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't hear their prayers, or people that are unforgiven, because they're not forgiven, their prayers aren't answered, you know. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So it's a waste of time to teach people how to pray if they're a bitter, angry, unforgiving person. They're not going to get their prayers answered. In fact, they're living under the curse of Deuteronomy 28. So reading on, it says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, this is cool. I mean, he's praying for the Ephesians, a fairly large group of people. We should be doing the same thing. We should be praying for vast sums of people, because it's just as easy to do that and pray big as it is to pray small. It's just that you cover a lot more territory, right? I'm not talking about not being specific. Specific is really good, because when you get an answer, it shows everybody that that's an answer from God, you know. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is his prayer, right? The Father of glory may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, there's so little of this out there that people don't know. They have authority in prayer. And my goodness, you know, what is the need for prayer? How badly do we need prayer? Well, let me just walk away from Ephesians just a minute here and look at James chapter 4. I'm going to look at 2 and 3. You lust and have not, you kill, you covet, you cannot obtain, you fight in war, and you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. It's so simple. People, through all of the self-efforts of the flesh, try to gain things. When the Lord is saying very perfectly through James chapter 4, that you have not because you ask not. How much do we not have because we have not asked? Well, almost everything we haven't asked, we don't have. So it's important that the cumulative effect of prayer goes on every day. And even he says, pray without ceasing, you know. It's so important to pray, because if you don't, you're not going to receive. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7 and verse 8, it says, ask and it shall be given you. This is pretty simple. It's a revelation, though, to most folks. Ask and it shall be given you. Many people read that and they say, well, What's wrong with that? Maybe that was just for them, because I haven't had that experience. Well, that's because you're missing something, right? This is faith. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. How can God make such positive statements? Because He's the one that stands behind them. His part is to provide the power and the direction. Our part is to use the faith that He's given us. If we don't keep our part of the covenant, He doesn't have to keep His, because it's conditional, right? For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. This is God. He stands positively behind the word. But the word of hearing didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard, he says. So look how positive. If you believe that you have this authority in prayer, and you believe that you have not because you ask not, think of all the people around you who need your prayers, including yourself. Think of all the things in the world that you can change by prayer. You have not because you ask not. Well, you know, what I'm talking about here about praying the word is it gives you so many openings and opportunities to pray about things that you never think of. And so that's why I say it's so good to sit down and read the word and pray and exercise your faith. Remember what the Lord said in John 15 and 7. He said, if you abide in me, that is, you know what it is to abide in him. It's not necessarily being perfect. It's doing what you know to do, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, in other words, you know what the Lord wants by becoming familiar with His Word. You know what He will give you by becoming familiar with His Word. You know what authority you have by becoming familiar with His Word. So He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. This is so awesome. You know, John 16, and I'm going to read 23 and 24. He says, in that day you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you ask anything of the Father, He will give it to you in my name. Now, there's kind of a double meaning in my name. It means in His nature, character, and authority. You're asking something that you know to be His will. It is signified in the Scriptures to be His will, you know. And a name means a nature, character, and authority. But also, the name of Jesus is powerful. We can say the name of Jesus, giving credit to Him and giving glory to Him and the people around us, and letting them know there's power in that name. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And they were getting some answers up to a point. The point came because they weren't who they thought they were. But they saw that Paul got authority by using the name of Jesus and being in the name of Jesus, you know. But Jesus said here, He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. And it's true of a lot of people still. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. You can take excuses to pray prayers. I mean, when we first started out, in the faith walk, things I normally would have just gone out and bought and whatever, you know, I said, no, I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to watch God bring this to me. And you know what? He did it. And I learned that that's a good thing to learn to do. The righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So, if you know that there are things out there that you haven't asked and you haven't received because you haven't asked, wouldn't you like to know what they are? So like I say, you have this cumulative effect, this building up of prayer over a long period of time because you've been a prayerful person. You're seeing all this fruit, all the benefits coming, etc., etc., okay? And this is not just a prosperity message here. Of course, God will supply our every need according to his riches and glory. It's not to, build up the lusts of the flesh, because he goes on and says here in James chapter 4, he says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it upon your pleasures. You adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" So where's the balance? I mean, if you need a car, you need a car, right? You don't necessarily need a Mercedes. I mean, that's kind of the lust of the flesh. They're not really the best vehicles to have anyway. I don't know if you know that. Some of the highest priced vehicles out there are not as dependable as some of the dependable stuff that you can buy a whole lot cheaper. So it's not even practical, but it does give people an inflated ego. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense, really. God's a very sensible God. And that kind of prosperity is for the egotistical. Let them have it. But you pray practically. Pray for the needs, right? Not the greeds, right? But if it's a need, it's a need, and you need it. If you need anything that you need to fulfill the will of God, ask him and go for it. And God will be there, all right? I'm going to go down back in Ephesians chapter 1. So we ask the Father to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, because we need to know these things to motivate ourselves to make the best of our time, to fulfill the will of God around us, because God's got prayer warriors out there he resorts to all the time, because they're there to fulfill the will. God uses us to bring things to change in this world, because he's given that authority to us. He gave it to Adam. Adam lost it because he sins. And his servant you are whom you obey. He obeyed the devil, so he gave his authority to the devil. Jesus, the last Adam, came along to restore that. And this authority was given to him. And he gave it to his spiritual children. And, of course, he didn't lose it because he didn't sin. He didn't give it to the devil. The devil tried to take it, but he couldn't, and he can't take it from some of his children, okay? But we need the wisdom, we need the revelation of the knowledge of him and what he's done and who is his children and what are we here for, and on and on and on. This is a good prayer. Father, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And he goes on to say in Ephesians 1 and 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. The eyes of your heart? Yes, how do you see things within yourself, right? Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Lord, we ask you for that. We ask you to enlighten the eyes of our heart. Let us have spiritual discernment. Let us know your will. Let us hear your voice. Remember, you have not because you ask not, right? So we need to ask. And it doesn't take long, reading through a text like this or many, many, many others to find out what is something that we can pray about. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for enlightening our hearts, for giving us discernment, giving us understanding of your will, and knowing who we are in you and who you are in us, and that you in us can do anything you want to do. Amen. That you may know what is the hope of your calling. Lord, we need to know what is the hope of our calling. What is our calling, which is the word invitation. Actually, it means invitation. What have you invited us to partake of? What have you invited us to do? What are we here for? How can we fulfill your will? Where should we be to do that? On and on and on. These are things we can ask. Lord, let us know what is the hope of our calling. What is it that we hope for? What is it that you desire for us? What is it that you have already given to us so that we may reach out our hand and take it? You said, you have not because you ask not, but you have all things in your hand, Lord. And we need to know what this calling invites us to. What have we been invited to partake of? Well, all the benefits of the kingdom of God. Everything that Jesus passed on. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And as he is, even so are we in this world. And he said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father. We have dominion given to us. How many people know that? How many know what the hope of their calling is? What are they invited to be? Well, as far as Christians go, very, very few. Very few have accepted the calling to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, they have a born-again spirit, and as such, they are a temple of God. But the Shekinah glory has not come to dwell in their temple. The power of God is not there. The enlightenment of God is not there. They don't know what the hope of their calling. They don't know that they are to walk as the original disciples. Like Jesus said to his disciples, you go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything I told you. In other words, he passed this on all the way down to us, and yet the preachers are still preaching, no, that was just for back then, it's not for us, and people are dying for lack of understanding, just as the Lord's promised would happen. So the hope of our calling, Father, we need the hope of our calling. We ask you, Lord, to have this firm expectation of what you have invited us to be and to do. And what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? The riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. An inheritance is passed on by somebody who dies. Jesus died to do what? To make reconciliation, which means an exchange of his life, his nature, his power, his gifts for ours. So that's not a fair trade. Yes, I know. He takes our curse and exchanges it for his blessing. He takes our faithlessness and exchanges it for his faith. Reconciliation was made, an exchange of his life for our life. His faith is our faith. Don't go around telling everybody you don't have faith. Start telling them you do have faith because Jesus gave it to you. Don't tell people you don't have love. Start confessing that you have love because he gave it to you. He made reconciliation. He made an exchange at the cross. And this is part of the hope of our calling. What he has done for us and what we can now do in this world, which is limitless. We can overthrow governments, for goodness sake. We can, on and on and on, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick. Everything that Jesus did, we can do. He said, even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Now that's a hope of your calling. And this is your inheritance in the saints. What did we receive when Jesus died. He made reconciliation. First thing we received when he died is we received death too. Death to self. A gift of death to self, if we claim it. Read Romans 6 and find out that when you went down in the waters of baptism, the old man died and the new man, Christ in you, came up out of that water. Now it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, Paul said, you know. That's right. And if he lives in you, he can do all these things. If the Jesus of the Bible lives in you, he's going to do those things. If the Jesus of religion lives in you, he's only going to be able to do those things, you know, which are worthless things. You limit God by lack of understanding or by humbling yourself to preachers who don't know what they're talking about and have never experienced this hope of their calling, nor the inheritance that was given to us. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Oh my. I'll say that again. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, to usward who believe? You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Do you believe the good news of what Jesus did at the cross, of what your inheritance is, of what is your calling? What are you invited to partake of? The life of ministry of Christ, the life, the ministry, the nature of Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why is it they haven't told us these things? Because they've never experienced it. They're not going to preach something that's over and above what they've experienced. They're going to tell you, oh, it's not applicable for today because I don't have it, you know. No, they're wrong. And they have no business being preachers if they don't know these things. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Now, I could sit here and tell you all the things that I've seen. And comparatively, I've seen very little. But I'm talking about of the miracles and the power that the Lord has manifested in my presence. I could tell you that and go on and on and on and on. Seen the resurrection of the dead. I've seen the Lord multiply the fishes and the loaves. I've seen the Lord put gas in my tank. I've seen the Lord put money in my hand, in my pocket. Two times the Lord told me to go put my hand, this is recently, you know, not that far back, to go put my hand somewhere. When I put my hand there, there was $8,500 there. I pulled it out. Shortly thereafter, he told me to do that again, and I did it. And there was $8,500 there again. I would tell the Lord, Lord, I need some money. You know what? He got it for me. He's never limited. He's never limited. You know, we limit him by not understanding the greatness of his power to us who believe. We have to be like little children coming to him and believing that we can receive and believing that he is God and he can do all things and that he has chosen us to be vessels through whom he moves to this larger earth. Right? The first disciples were just the first disciples. They were just the first disciples, not the only disciples. And he told them to go out and make disciples and teach them everything that he taught them. So therefore, anybody who disciples you is supposed to be telling you what Jesus told the first disciples. And he told them to go out and exercise this exceeding great power. And nobody's doing it. And you know, the best time to do it is in evangelism, because God really honors that. He wants to show signs and wonders. He confirms his word to people who don't know his word by signs and wonders. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? You don't have a bondage that he didn't fix at the cross. You're not in a situation that can't be repaired because of what he did at the cross. Now, we're all going to take up our own cross, and we're all going to have people that are going to be very willing to put us on it. We're all going to have that. That's part of it too, because that's the death to self. Through the death to self, the new man lives without impedance, right? Without the hindrance of the forces of darkness, because they use your flesh against you. The greatness of his power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Who believe? There's the condition. Not only do we have not because we ask not, we need to ask in belief, in prayer. And because Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. That's right, it's past tense. And you shall have them. Believe you received them and you shall have them. So he goes on to say, according to that working of the strength of his might. Wow, so we're not talking about our might. You know, you tell people that God wants to live in us and do in us and walk in us, and they tell you, oh, we can't be perfect. Wait a minute. Are you saying God cannot perfect his saints? Something the scripture clearly says he does? Why do you not deny? Why do you deny the word of God? And why do you not believe? Because of your false theology. He said, according to the working of the strength of his might, not our might. We're not dependent upon our might. We're depending upon his might. His might stands behind his word, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Oh my goodness, it's already done. All we got to do is reach out and take it. The gift has been given, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. And of course, we can sit with Jesus in heavenly places where there is every blessing. Ephesians 1 says it in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So heavenly places are in Christ. If you abide in him, he said, you bear fruit. That's one of the things we, of course, ask for and believe we have received, right? We can ask for all fruit. We don't have any lack that we can't ask for. He said all things whatsoever. So if you really believe that, that there is nothing that we need that we can ask for, and God will withhold it if we ask in faith, if you believe that, boy, you'd be praying, wouldn't you? The people who pray are people that know God answers prayer. A lot of people don't know that, and they don't pray. And when they do, they don't see answers because it's not according to the will of God. In other words, they're not praying in faith. They're not praying knowing that it's already been given to them from the cross of Christ. It's all past tense. When you pray, you believe you have received, and you shall have it because you already received it, you see. You have to believe it was already given. So many people are running with their hand out behind the Lord, say, give me, give me, give me. And he's trying to tell them, I already gave it to you. Now you have to take it by faith. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Our faith is a force. Our faith is a force against the spiritual principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, and it's a force against our own unbelief, you know, etc. Made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places. All right. In Christ is where those heavenly places are. He said it in the same chapter, Ephesians 1 and 3. So if you abide in him, and his word abides in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. People are giving examples of things that other people never even thought about praying for. That's why it's good to listen to people's testimony. It stretches your ability to reach out and take things that you didn't think were necessary or able or that you were capable of or whatever, you know. Far above all rule and authority and power. That means all the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness, right? He made him to sit there next to God, next to the Father, far above all rule and authority and power. And guess who's in him? We are to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the star glory up there. Notice the stars up there. They're like the seed of Abraham. Look at their glory shining forth. And yet that's not even the highest measure of glory. There's moon glory to those who are dead to self. And then there's sun glory, which is the exact same glory that manifested through Jesus Christ, the sun. Far above. So Jesus and all those who are abiding in him are far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So, he's given us this dominion, this authority. We're kings and priests, right? And, you know what I was saying a minute ago about you being in him, he confirms here. He says, and he put all, the word things was not there, it's not in the numeric pattern, because he's not talking about things, he's talking about people. And he put all in subjection under his feet. And he's talking about not only people, but all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, all of them. And he put all of this under his feet. The feet of his body, which is talking about his earthly body, and gave to him to be the head. So you see, he's the head of the body. We're all supposed to be in the body. We're abiding in him through faith in his word, right? Gave him to be the head over all to the church. So he's the head over all of the body of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's what he wants to be. He wants to be in all of his body, and he wants all of his body to be in him. Kind of like John 17, like he said there. Okay, so now we see that he's put all of this dominion under the feet of his body, the very lowest part of his body. Now, if you really believe that, would you pray? If you really believe Mark 11 and 24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received it and you shall have it. If you really believed it, would you pray? So you see, it does take belief and a desire not to be, you know, missing all the benefits of the kingdom. You have not because you ask not. Okay? So if you ask with the dominion, the knowledge of the dominion, like we were talking about before, and that authority in faith, you're going to receive. And you'll be a powerhouse. You'll be somebody that God can use. Lots of people want God to use them, but they're not usable. They haven't learned the lessons that Jesus taught his early disciples. And so they're not able to bring the benefits to the people around them. Now, I say this too, you know, when Jesus went out, he made a condition. And the condition was, as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. And it's the same with us. We want other people to believe so that we can give them the benefits of the kingdom. The less that they know about God, like babies, you know, they're on the bottle. The more you're able to give them something that they cannot take for themselves. So, you know, when you got new babes, you make them this wonderful offering and you exercise your faith for them. You get them to agree with you and you exercise your faith with them, for them, and they receive wonderful things. Then they realize, oh, this is how it's done, you know. Then they can enter into it. In general, as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. And so, we want to be able and capable to understand our calling, what we've been invited to partake of, which is all of the benefits of the kingdom and all of the benefits of Jesus Christ, so that we can pass this on to others, right? Okay, I'm going to go to Ephesians 3 and 14 and just look again. Again, we're looking at prayers here and a little bit of teaching afterwards, a couple of them. But we're looking at the prayer here, and we're praying the prayer because we know it's the will of God, and we're praying the prayer. But you can go anywhere in the Bible and read and pray that as you read it. And you will never run out of prayer. And the cumulative effect of that is that you will have prayed an awful lot of things that enable you to partake of an awful lot of things, and everybody around you to partake of an awful lot of things. Because when people tell you to learn to pray for an hour, how do you do it? I mean, first of all, I don't teach people how to pray for an hour. I like to teach people how to pray without ceasing. Because you see things with your eyes, and you hear things with your ears, and you're capable of praying about things all the time, everywhere you go. And if you have trouble going in your closet or wherever you pray, even in your bed or kneeling beside your bed or whatever your method is, if you have trouble praying for very long, it's because you don't have enough input. That's why I say, look at what the Bible is saying. Look how your knowledge is expanding, and look at the requests that you're putting out there. Now you can receive these things that you never could receive before. So many people realize that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to them just like it was the early apostles. And when they ask, they get it. And they think, why didn't I do this so many years ago? Well, most often because you didn't know it was available, or you listened to men. They will rob you. They're thieves, Jesus called them. All that came before me, thieves and robbers. He was talking about the religious leaders, for goodness sake, you know. And it's the same today. It is the same today. I'm going to read Ephesians 3:14 on down. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Famous prayer, you've probably prayed it before. Isn't it wonderful? From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. A powerful prayer. If you haven't prayed it, you need to pray it. And, of course, he's praying this for the Ephesians. I'm sure he's already prayed it for himself. We can do the same. That he would grant you, his petition to the Father, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. I mean, what is not provided in the riches of his glory? Everything is provided there, okay? That you may be strengthened with power. What's the best way to do this? Well, first of all, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who imparts power. Power will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. Through his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not the Spirit of Jesus. There's two spirits that are given unto you. When you come to the Lord, you first get the Spirit of Christ. That's the born-again Spirit, because you're beginning to be created by the Holy Spirit in the image of Christ. And the first thing he does is give you the born again from heaven Spirit of Jesus Christ. The next thing you want to ask for is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. See, Jesus had two spirits. He had a human spirit that was sanctified and holy. And he had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. That'll come to as a revelation to many of you. And he's not a person. I'm sorry. He's a spirit. He's not a person. Okay. And he is an omnipresent, all-powerful spirit, because he is the Spirit of God. In the inward man, do you need the Spirit of God? If you want to be strengthened by His power, you need it. You need the Holy Spirit of God in your inward man. The glory of God coming into the temple and filling the temple. Sure, the temple's there. You know, it has a holy of holies, but the Holy Spirit needs to come and dwell in the temple. And so, Father, we ask that for those who are listening who have never received your Holy Spirit, but they want to stretch out their faith to receive everything that you offer, as we've already talked about. Everything that you offer. So, Father, because the first disciples were all filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, how in the world could we be disciples in the image of the first disciples or in the image of Jesus without the Holy Spirit? And what was said in the book of Acts? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So a person can believe and still not have the Holy Spirit. Now, when you believed, you got the Spirit of Jesus, just as Romans 8 speaks about. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. But if the Spirit of God dwells in you, He will give life to your mortal body. That's this body on this earth, in case you don't know it. Notice He said, but if the Spirit of God, there's two spirits. Strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What Christ? Whose Christ are we talking about? You can see that almost all of Christianity is not receiving the Christ with His nature, His power, His authority, His holiness, on and on. So you see, you can go into a church and end up with that Spirit of Christ, but it's not the Spirit of Christ. And you can receive the Holy Spirit of God, which will give you power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Have you experienced the power when the Holy Spirit came, or did He not yet come upon you? Because you can receive the Spirit of Christ and not have power. It's the Spirit of Christ, but it's in a body that's not been empowered. He said, but if you receive the Spirit of God, He will give life to your mortal body. Whose life? Jesus' life. To the end that you being rooted and grounded in love. How do we get that? Notice we back up again here. That Christ dwell in you. Notice it's the nature of Christ. Rooted and grounded. There are so many people out there that have no love. They don't even know what it is. They love themselves. And they won't refuse to lose their life so that they may gain their life. That is their higher life. They love themselves. They don't love others. And that you being rooted and grounded in love may be strong to apprehend. The King James says comprehend. That's totally wrong. No numeric pattern in it. It is to apprehend. That means to gain this for yourself. Not understand it. Of course we need to understand it, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ. So it is, let me say it this way. What is the breadth of Christ, the length of Christ, the height of Christ, the depth of Christ, and the love of Christ? That's what he's saying. Look at it carefully. Which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. I dare say few Christians believe that you can be filled unto all the fullness of God. And remember, it's not our power. It's His power. You're strengthened with His power through His Spirit in the inner man, as we just read, you see. So, to apprehend what? All of Christ. Let me just say it simply. All of Christ. To apprehend all of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. This is what this is saying. Don't try to drag God down on your level. Try to go up to His. Okay, if he says that his power is able to do this, to create sons of God, and by the way, if it's a son of God, what is it? It's God with a little g, folks, because unless you and Christ be in you, unless you indeed be reprobate, Christ must be in you. The Christ who walked in the Gospels, the Christ who revealed himself. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also. Oh my. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Greater works. So you see, God is able to live through you, through your faith. In fact, living the Christian life is not me living the Christian life. It's Him living the Christian life in me, because of the faith that He's given us to apprehend all of Christ. You don't lack anything. At the cross, reconciliation was made, according to Colossians. The exchange was made. Now we just reach out to take the gift of Jesus Christ. And Paul, who spoke faith, said, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ who lives in me. That's why the power of God moved through him, because he brought the word of God into his understanding, and then he mixed it with faith. And that's how it happens. You mix it with faith. It's not me doing the work. It's Christ doing the work through me, because I am exercising the faith that he gave me. We can take no credit. It all comes from him. It's all by grace. How awesome. So, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, this is super important. You know, when Jesus did miracles, he had compassion. He had love for people. When he met people's needs, it was because he knew who he was. He knew he was a son of the Father, and the only begotten or born son. We have to be reborn sons, right? Honestly. So, but he was the only born son of the Father. And we are reborn through him, and we are in him. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. So, when his words abide in us, when we abide in him, and his words abide in us, we have the mind of Christ. We know what he wants. We know what he will do. The confusion is removed. Because the devil loves to confuse people, because he doesn't want you to know who you are. And he doesn't know what you're really called. He doesn't want you to know what you're really called to do. So he sends confusion, and of course, confusing preachers. Babylon, that's what Babylon is, confusion. Babylonish preachers to tell you, oh, you can't do that. You can't have that, because I didn't get that in Bible school. You can't have that. So, no, you have to pay attention to the word. You're going to need it where you're going. Where we are going to have to live by faith. Nothing else will work. So it's supremely important that we learn this and that we pray and ask God for it. Father, we ask because you've already given all of Christ to us. The breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and his love. You've given it all to us. We ask for it, and we know we can receive it, because your word is saying very plainly, it's ours. It's your gift to us. And that you're granting us according to the riches of your glory, so that we might be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ can dwell in our hearts through faith. Lord, we want the Jesus, the real Jesus, to dwell in our hearts through faith. Oh, hallelujah. What an opportunity. And look what people are missing. And have they never prayed for this? Well, you have not, because you ask not. Have you never prayed for this? It's there for you. It's already been accomplished. It's not like you have to twist God's arm or even talk him into it. It already happened at the cross. It's yours. Reach out and take it. In fact, the next verse says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." So how big is God, and what can he do? He can do far above what we think he can do. So if you've been taught that God can't do this and God can't do that and God won't do this and God won't do that, just remember, he can do more than you think. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's how powerful he is. He wants to stretch our understanding of his power and ability and will to be a blessing to us. According to the power that worketh in us. It worketh in us. This power of the Jesus living in us worketh in us. Now, you can limit Jesus to say that's just talking about spiritual things. We're born again in the Spirit and we sit on a pew and we're not really worth anything more than that. So we can't really do anything more than that. You know, that's the length of many people's Christianity. No, we've been called to be disciples of Christ, right? Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to go on into 4 just a little bit, because there really wasn't a 4 there, was there? No, it just went right on. It says, I therefore, meaning since he's talking about what he was just got through talking about, so I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. What were we called to? To be disciples of Jesus Christ, to come into his image, to live in him, and him live in us, and him do his works through us. This is our calling, our invitation to partake of the benefits of the kingdom, who saved us and called us. The Bible says, you don't get this calling until you get saved. Many have been taught that this calling is to the world and they don't necessarily come. No, this is an invitation to partake of the benefits of Christ. You can't have this invitation unless you're first in Christ, who saved us and called us. You get saved before you get this invitation to partake of the benefits. As a child of God, we have authority from God. If you're just a servant, no, not necessarily so. You just take orders. But there's a difference between a servant and a son. A son of God is one who is coming into the image of his father and has authority underneath his father. So we have this calling. It's there for us, wherewith you were called. You were invited to partake. Are you partaking? Well, if you're like most, you're not. But you're hearing it here today, so you can have everything that Jesus was, because God made an exchange. He put him on the cross to bear your curse, and he gave you his life. He made this exchange at the cross. So our calling is to walk as he walked, be what he was, etc., etc. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. This is necessary. There won't be any peace unless you do this. And the wicked among you will show up pretty quickly and they'll hit the door, you know, because they can't stand it and they won't obey the rules. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, why is it necessary to have the unity of the Spirit? Because we are a body in the earth, the body of Christ. The body of Christ does not work separate. Each limb does not work separate from the body. It serves the body, and all the senses serve the body. And your legs serve the body, etc., etc. There are, loners out there who just don't have any love and don't want to be around the body of Christ because they stick out like a sore thumb because they smell bad. So you know how hard it is to get close to somebody that smells bad. I'm talking about spiritual discernment here, of course. We have to have unity. We have to have leadership. We have to have unity. We have to have all these things. I know a guy that proclaims to be a prophet, but he never prophesies. And God's given him no body to be a part of because he's too self-willed, so he don't really get around anybody in the body. But he says he's a prophet. And his dreams are wrong. And the things he says are wrong, so he's not a prophet. But you see, the devil wants to puff people up and keep them separate. Since this person is never submitted to anybody in his life, he is disqualified from being over anybody. If you can't learn to submit, you can't learn to have dominion, and you can't exercise authority. And so, since he's never done that, he's nothing. He's pumped up, puffed up by the devil. So, let's see. I'm going to go a little farther here. Let's see. I think I'll go to chapter 4 and verse 20. But ye did not so learn Christ. If so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus. So, when we abide in him, we gain truth. If you don't abide in him, if you don't walk in the light that you have, you don't get more light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay? If you don't walk in the light you have, you don't get any more. You might get knowledge that will not be wisdom, but you'll use it to for your own self-will. People gain knowledge. They want to impress people. They like authority over people. And they gain knowledge for that very wrong purpose. And so they're not trustworthy. And so they really aren't who they say they are, ever. Because God doesn't permit it, right? So what we have heard the Scriptures say of him, and we were taught in him, the truth is in Jesus, in the Word. If people will not submit to the Word, they're not going to ever have dominion. And if they don't submit to authority that the Lord has given, they're never going to have dominion. They may take dominion, but that'll be the biggest mistake of their life because they'll be judged quickly. You know how the Lord said in James that be not many of you teachers, for you will receive the heavier condemnation. That's right. So don't make yourself something that you're not because you will be judged. Verse 22, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man. The man that you were before you came to Christ. Are you still the person you were before you came to Christ? Well, then you haven't gone very far down the road of sanctification, right? And a lot of people are. They just accept Jesus on top of all their other sinful ways, and they don't think they have to give up anything to have Jesus. They just pile him on top of the rubbish heap, right? Well, that won't work. No, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You are not who you think you are. Okay? So we have to put away as concerning our former manner of life the old man. Father, we ask that you give us all this gift. It was provided at the cross. We were united with him in the likeness of his death so that we would also be of his resurrection. So we've been given this gift of death to self, death to the old man, and let us walk in it, Lord. You said, unless we lose our life, we will not gain our life. And so he goes on to say that waxeth corrupt after the lusts of deceit. Yes, these are deceivers. They go on to be deceivers. Some people go on to be disciples of Christ, and some go on to be deceivers. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. He didn't say you didn't start, they didn't start out with you. He said, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. Now, there are many like this. Many. Many are called, but few are chosen. See, that tells you that the many called are not attaining to this. Only the chosen are attaining to this. They're the ones that bear fruit, right? Chosen. You go out into the field, you pick the fruit, you leave the plant, you plow it under, right? It's the fruit that he's after. The fruit is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And they wax corrupt after the lusts of deceit. Many people are deceived because they want to be deceived. They want to believe that all they needed to do was shake a preacher's hand and sit on a pew and wait for the rapture. They wanted to believe that. And once saved, always saved. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You're saved and that's it. You don't have to obey. You're saved and that's it. That's the lust of deceit. They want to believe that. They want to believe they don't have to change because they don't know how easy it is to change. They don't even think it's a possibility to change. So it's easier for them to change their doctrine than it is to change themselves. They wax corrupt after the lust of deceit. They're deceivers. Whosoever goeth onward abideth not in the teaching hath not God. They're deceivers. And that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Let's say that again. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, what gives you this new spirit? It is coming into conformity to the Word of God, right? And put on the new man, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? The new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Your new man, your born again man. Notice what I'm saying, your born again man. Not your born again spirit, but your born again man is coming into the image of Jesus Christ. Your spirit first comes into his image, and then your soul, and then your body comes into his image. Okay, that's what we're being created in the image of God, in the image of Jesus Christ. And so if you only want your spirit to be born again, you're not bearing fruit. You've been given something, the seed. The seed is precious. Within the seed is everything. It can grow into the fruit. It can grow into the plant and the fruit. But if all you've got is the seed and you don't bear any fruit, you're going to be cast forth into outer darkness. It don't matter what your doctrine is. So we put on the new man by faith. Anything we see in here, it's ours. It's been given unto us. We accept it by faith. We expect that the reconciliation, the exchange between Jesus and us was accomplished at the cross. That after God had been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. After God. In other words, after his image, right? Righteousness and holiness of truth. You want this? One thing, you can pray for it. You see that it's an opportunity to have this? Lord, we ask you to renew our mind. You said be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, Lord, we have this virus and we need to purge our hard drive and put the good stuff in there, which is what we're reading here. Put the good stuff in there. The rest of the body is going to follow the head. And so we purge this stuff from our hard drive and we put the good stuff in there, the renewed mind of Christ, that we be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we can what? put on the new man. See, some people don't think that it's necessary, or are we capable of putting on the new man? That after God have been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, which is all you get in the pabulum of religion. Wherefore, putting away all falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God, the Bible says. In other words, say what the Bible says. Don't say what men say. Say what the Bible says. We were talking about perfection a while ago. Go and look up perfection. I dare you. And remember that God has given that to us, and he's given it to us by our faith. So just believe what the Bible says. Don't believe what men say. Believe what the Bible says. Accept exactly what it says. And there's nothing they can do with it. They have to deny it, twist it, tweak it in any way they can to make them look righteous when they're not. Speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor. Say what the Bible says. Say what the rules are. Be kind enough to your neighbor to bring the word of God if they're missing it in some way. If they get mad, that's on them. If you're careful and gracious and weak to the weak and so on and so forth, and humble, it's easier for them to receive it. But some are not going to receive anything because they know what they want, and it's the lust of the flesh that they want, and you can't do anything for them. They will get worse no matter what, because God will turn them over to a reprobate mind if they don't turn from their self-will. And we've seen it happen. We know it happens. For we are members one of another. We belong to one another. We are connected to one another. This is why we talk about the faction, because God does not want perversion in his body. And he will run that person off. He'll have them fall out with you. He'll let the demon take authority over them. 1 Corinthians 5:5. I turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. The Lord turns them over to the devil. And they don't like you. And that's because they don't belong in your body. They've got leaven. And they're full of desires that are contrary to the kingdom. So how can they be one? How can two walk together except they be agreed? So God wants a unified body, as we've been seeing here. We're members one of another. Father, we ask you to cleanse the body, because the body itself is so powerful to do everything that Jesus did, if it's unified. If it's like the iron and clay of the beast mixed up in the feet, the iron and the clay doesn't stick together. It is not strong. It will fall all apart. When the stone out of the kingdom rolls down out of the mountain and hits it in the feet, it's going to crumble the whole thing. The body of Christ can't be that way. We are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. I maintain that there's a question mark behind that. Now, we know the original didn't have that punctuation, any punctuation. But since he says this down below, I believe the only way you can make this fit. God is not saying be angry. That would be a period behind it, right? Be angry. Just don't sin. Well, first of all, anger is a sin, because anger is judgment. Anger is unforgiveness. Anger is criticism. Anger is all these things. It is sin. Now, I'm not saying that God can't be angry through the prophetic word, but if he's using somebody, it's going to be somebody that's overcome that sin. Be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full. Don't put yourself up as somebody to correct someone else if you're not obeying, right? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Notice he's not saying that it's good to be angry at all. He's saying the opposite. Give up your anger. It's unforgiveness. It's bitterness. It's criticism. You will not be forgiven, and you will be under the curse. It's the curse of unforgiveness. Jesus said, If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So be angry and sin not. In other words, are you not sinning because you're angry? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Notice he's saying that anger is giving place to the devil. Oh my goodness. So Jesus is not saying the opposite here. He's not saying, it's okay, be angry, but don't sin. Come on. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good. Oh my goodness. You know what? When people get faction, they are a bunch of thieves. They always try to steal everything they can. Always. You will be able to tell them by their theft. That he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. So we do. Everybody has to work. Let me put it that way. Everybody. You're either working full time in the kingdom for the king, and you can only do that if he's called you to that. Or you're going to be working in the world. Not of the world, but in the world, right? So we're all called to work. We're all called as a body to meet the needs of the rest of the body. It's not just for us. It's to meet the needs of the body, right? Man doesn't work, he don't eat. That's what the Bible says, and that's what it needs to be. If they're making excuses because they're lazy, or they can't say they can't find a job, they're lying if they say they can't find a job, because you can. You can do something. Whereof to give to him that hath need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for the edifying, as the need may be. So no corrupt speech, no anger, no wrath, no selfishness, right? We are servants one of another. We love the body of Christ. And Father, we ask too that you put a watch before our lips, Lord, that nothing unclean comes out of our mouths. Also, Lord, we ask you to watch our eyes and our ears, that nothing unclean enters in, because what enters in comes out sooner or later. So we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for this. We ask that we sin not. We let not the sun go down upon our wrath. We don't hold any unforgiveness until the morrow, is what he's saying. And we don't steal. Thieves are not in the kingdom of God. But such is good for edifying, which is building up of the body, right? As the need may be. Yes, Lord, build up our local bodies wherever we are, Father. Build us up into a representation of Christ himself. That's what we're here for. That it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Of course, if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, it's because you're not obeying the Holy Spirit. And that will not bode well for you, to not obey the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, there it is, look, let all anger and clamor and railing, speaking against others, be put away from you with all malice. Let it be put away from you. So get rid of the anger. It's not be angry and sin not. No. Put away from you. And don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, get rid of it today. Don't sleep on it. Get rid of it. You got unforgiveness, don't sleep on it. Get rid of it. If you sleep on it, it's going to become a part of you. If you accept it, it's yours. Reject it. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Amen. We forgive because we want to reap what we have sown. That is, we want to have forgiveness. So we forgive. Father, we ask you to give us all that kind of forgiveness, so that the body may be one and not schismed and not divided and not factioned. Lord, do we thank you that there can be no faction in your body. Any person who is factious must leave your body. And you take care of that. Thank you, Father. We know you will. And he goes on to say, be ye therefore imitators of God and beloved children. Be imitators of God. How can we walk in the steps of the Lord unless we're imitating him? As beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. There you go. The good smelling bunch. The stinky bunch, they need to go. Okay? We're offering. We're a sacrifice. We're sacrificing our flesh. We're sacrificing our will. We're sacrificing our old man on the altar. And he goes on to say, fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, which is like the thieves, you know, let it not even be named among you as becometh saints. Let it not be named among you, meaning they shouldn't be among you. If they're thieves, they need to go. If they're liars, they need to go. If they're fornicators, if they're adulterers, they need to go. Let them go. For this you know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God. So don't let anybody deceive you with empty words, he says. Amen? Now, I'm going to go to, I'm going to go to chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, he wouldn't tell us to do that if we couldn't do it. That would be foolish. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. First of all, you need to know that it's his strength that's given unto you and that you've got it. How can you be strong if you don't know you have it? Right? So you know it's been given unto you, as we just already discussed. And you know that Jesus in you can do anything. As I've said so often, Jesus and you are a majority in any situation. Right? Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, we all have to do this. I see people that are constantly getting conquered by the devil, and they stay conquered by the devil because they refuse to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I hear people say with their mouth, well, today I put on the armor of God. Well, you really just have to do it. You know, we accept the gift of the whole armor of God, and we can pray for it. In fact, Father, we do pray for that you give us the gift of the whole armor of God. But it's not something we just say. It's something that we walk in. Verse 12, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness. You know, I was listening to a brother share a dream that he had the other day of a man that we know sitting at a computer, and he was hacking into people's computers. And he's hacked into their phones. He's a thief. You know, he's a liar. And he was looking at this person, and as he looked at them, they turned into a demon. Horns grew out of their head. Sunglasses came on their face, on this person's face. In other words, so they don't let the light of the sun go in, right? They turned dark. And so we know what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a demon. And a person who has willingly given place to a demon. So our wrestling is not against the person. It's against the demon. The demons got control over them because they loved sin and loved to walk in the flesh. And the demons got control over them. So who are we going to wrestle with? Well, you'll just get yourself in a lot of trouble wrestling with them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yes. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that you help us to discern, not to get caught up in wrestling with the flesh and the blood, Lord, but to do warfare against the principalities and powers. Thank you, Father, for that gift. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So he wouldn't tell us to take up the whole armor of God if we couldn't do it. I've talked to people who didn't think they could do it. They gave every kind of excuse why they couldn't do it. Couldn't take up the armor of God. Couldn't defend themselves against the enemy. Enemy was running rampant with them. Well, he's telling you to do this. You can do it. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. With truth. We're powerful with truth. The word is the truth. Jesus is the truth, right? And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is a defense against the enemy. If you're worldly and giving in to sin, you don't have a defense. Righteousness is a defense. It will guard your heart. Breastplate. It will guard your heart. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, you know, the gospel does make peace between people. The good news of who we are in Christ and what fruit we have from Him. It's just like a father and a son. The son many times comes forth in the image of the father because he's inherited something from that father. And we have inherited these things from Christ. We have an inheritance. It's been given unto us through the blood, right? Just like in humans, they pass on their blood to their children And actually, I know and have seen and have experienced children who were raised away from the biological parent growing up just like that parent because of the blood. Yes, they inherited it through the blood. So we got new blood, right? We have been adopted into a new family here, right? Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith. You know, the devil will throw many fiery darts at us, many things that are contrary to Scripture, which we do not want in our heart. We must put up our shield of faith, believing that these things can't take us, because Jesus Christ bore our sins away. He's the Lamb of God who took the sins of the world, who bore the sins of the world. He took our sins and he bore them away. We've been made free from sin, the Bible says. Made free, Romans chapter 6. Withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. You can use your faith to quench the fiery darts. He's going to tell you everything. He's going to try to tear down your faith. He's going to try to talk against the truth that you know, against the people that have been given to you to guide you. He's going to talk against everything. These are all fiery darts. If you let it in, it'll burn you down. Okay? But you can quench it with the shield of faith. You know it's not. You know it's contrary to the Word. You know it's contrary to God. Use your faith against it. Resist it with your faith. Tell the devil what you want him to do. You've been given authority over him, right? Quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. Look, This is the most important one. If you don't know you've been saved from sin, you don't have the helmet of salvation. The helmet is to protect your mind. The devil's going to tell you, you don't have this, you don't have that. He's going to remind you of all of your past. He's going to put a spirit of condemnation upon you. He's going to put rejection on you. He's going to put all these things on you because you don't have on the helmet of salvation. You need to know that you have been saved from sin. You need to know what are your rights. You are justified by faith. All of this armor is activated by faith. You are justified by faith. You are not justified by your past works, no matter how much you have done or how much you have failed. Neither one affects your faith for the future. He'll point to you things that you have done to drag you down, to discourage you, to depress you, to take away your faith so you got no authority over him. Because if you've got no faith, you've got no armor. You need the helmet of salvation. You are justified by faith. You believe that he took away your sins. It doesn't matter where you are on the totem pole. It don't matter how deep a hole you've dug for yourself. You must hold on to justification by faith. Justification means accounted righteous. You are counted righteous by your faith. It will protect your mind from letting the devil come in and destroy your body, whether it's the corporate body or an individual body. Take the helmet of salvation. If you're listening to something that's contrary to the good news of the gospel, you've been conquered already. Put on the helmet of salvation. He's telling you to take the helmet of salvation. You say, I can't do it? No, you can do it. You just won't do it. Take the helmet of salvation. Know the truth of the good news. The good news is the power of God to save the one that believes it. The good news that Jesus bore away your sins and your curse, and he gave you his righteousness and his blessings. And that's your confession. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. You're looking in the mirror and you're seeing Jesus. Jesus lives in you. You don't live anymore. You went down in that baptismal pool and you died. And the one that came up was Christ. That's your confession. You hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. The helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. If you're not going to do that, he's going to pound your head in. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the sword of the Spirit also works by faith. Putting on the helmet is works by faith. The sword of the Spirit works by faith. And the sword of the Spirit is just that. You're using the word just like Jesus used it, as a sword, when he was tempted of the devil in Luke chapter 4. He was tempted, he was tested. And he had honest needs. He'd been fasting for 40 days, right? And the devil tempted him with that. But you know what? He didn't give in. Again, he was the last Adam who didn't give in to the devil and didn't give his authority to the devil. The first Adam did. And therefore, all of his children grew up under sin, under the curse. Now, our last Adam, Jesus Christ, he also was tempted of the devil. And he didn't give in. So he didn't give up his authority, his dominion. He passed it on to us with all those awesome promises that everybody ignores because they think it can't possibly be true and because our church doesn't believe that. Get out of it. It's not a church. So we put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The devil tries to tempt us and test us and tweak everything, and we say, no, thus saith the Lord, like Jesus did, right? Hold on to the word. Use it as a weapon against what? Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. See, another reason to read the word is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, also to have something to pray for. So if you don't have this, pray for it. Pray that the Holy Spirit bring to your remembrance everything that the Lord has said unto you. He does that to defend you. Pray. You have not because you ask not, right? So ask. Ask and believe you have received, like Jesus said. Remember Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, that's everything you pray for, right? Believe you received it, and you shall have it. Everything you pray for, believe you received it, because it's past tense. That's what faith is. Faith is not the future. Faith is believing you received something in the past. Hope is pointing towards the future, and it's good, but it's not enough. You have to believe what happened in the past. See, if you believe God's already given you all of this armor, already given you His righteousness, already delivered you from the curse, then the devil can't talk you out of it because he's already given it. And that's what the Lord is trying to get people to understand. That is the gospel. It's not what God's going to do in your future. It's what He has done in your past. That's why the cross is back there behind us. It was first. It wasn't last. So we accept what happened back there. We confess. We believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, right? And this is where salvation in any form comes from. Amen? So, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And who is the Word of God? Jesus. He had that name on Him when He comes back on the white horse, right? He's the Word of God. If you're not following the Word of God, you're not following the Jesus. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit. Notice, praying in the Spirit. You know, Paul said, I'll pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with my understanding also. The Bible says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? Speaking in tongues is very plain. And he says, do it all the time. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all, Paul said. Oh, you don't want to do that. That's confusion. Who's confused here? Who is confused here? Who has accepted Babylonish confusion? The people that don't believe in speaking in tongues. Say, so with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Well, Father, we do pray for all of your saints in these days, that all those who have been taken captive to Babylonish religion will be delivered and be ready to go into the wilderness to learn of you and to be led and guided through that wilderness to our promised land. Oh, Lord, we ask you to do this in Jesus' name with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto, in all perseverance. Yes, help us to persevere, Lord, as we pray for these things, as we pray for the whole body, for the people of God, for those around us, for the ones in our local body. Help us to persevere in prayer. And Lord, this is one thing that you've given us. The angel spoke it. To pray the word. Pray the word. Read it. Pray it. Pray it. You have not because you ask not. So, Lord, we're asking all these things that we're reading today. We ask you for perseverance in prayer. We ask that we constantly be praying, whether in the Spirit or, you said, pray without ceasing, so that we can pray constantly. And even when you don't know what you can pray, the Spirit makes intercession for us in groanings that cannot be uttered. So when you don't know what to pray, you can pray in the Spirit, because you're commanded here with all power and supplication, praying in the Spirit, and all seasons, praying in the Spirit. Amen. So let us do it. And it's powerful, powerful to pray in the Spirit. We see answers that way. Because if we ask anything according to the will of God, He hears us. Well, the Holy Spirit don't know how to pray out of the will of God. He doesn't know how to do that. It's not a part of His nature. He's always praying according to the will of God, and He always gets what He prays for. Wouldn't you like to pray in the Holy Spirit so that His praying through you will be fulfilled? You have not because you ask not, right? Amen. That's awesome. And on my behalf, that the utterance may be given unto me. Yes, Lord, give your utterance, Lord. Let your anointing, let your words go forth from your chosen people, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the opening of my mouth, to make known with the boldness the mystery of the gospel. Hey, it's less and less of a mystery as you go onward. It's less and less of a mystery. It doesn't have to be a mystery. The good news of what Jesus did is written in the Word. It's written in the letter. It doesn't have to be a hidden thing to you. People get used to ignoring things that they read because it's not according to their church or their preacher. That is idolatry. You never find the truth that way. You must accept the Word of God. It is the truth. All right? For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Yes, Lord, that's what we want. We want to be able to speak as we ought to speak. Now I could have gone on. Maybe I will do some more of this. I kind of like what we're talking about now. It seems very needed and necessary. Well, Father, please bless all the brethren that have joined us today. Please pour forth your Spirit upon them. Please, Lord, grant grace for them to pray the Word, as the angel said. Pray the Word. And let them not run out of things to pray, but constantly be building this backlog of things that they've prayed and believed for and that are coming their way. They're coming their way. Thank you, Father, for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. Many, 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 many blessings to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.